to call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, you please take the roll.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Yes, if you could, please come forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Jim Lysak, 8956 West Mallard Court. First of all, I'd like to ask if the City of Franklin has any regulations or laws about property owners and how they keep up their property, and if they let it, like, get over bushed, or homes that have been sitting on there for 15 years, do they have to get rid of them? I want to know if there's any laws like that for the City of Franklin. Secondly, I would like to ask Alderman Taylor, or inform Alderman Taylor, that my lawyer is not an ambulance chaser. I will quote what you said. Frankly, I likened this to an ambulance chaser running around to different communities. And they're pushing the city around, and I refuse to be intimidated by this. Who are they? Also, you said, this is just really sickening that we have a project. We have a $15 million project, 250 jobs. Who's we? Myers are the people who have the $15 million project. You own stock in Myers? Because you're saying we. I'm just questioning, that's English 101. Also, the 250 jobs, are they going to be average wage? Are they going to be minimum wage? Are they going to be 40-hour-a-week jobs? Do we know? No. You know, and the other part is, you said we have an attorney running around from community to community trying to prevent Meyer's store from coming here. It really pisses me off. Well, there's a lot of things that piss me off, too. So you just have to take what is there. I'd also like to say one thing. Do the aldermen and everybody, the mayor and everybody, take an oath when you take office? You do, right? Would you please go back and read that oath? Because somewhere in that oath, I think it says, I will abide by all federal and state laws and help uphold these laws. Not try and circumvent them. Work with a company like Myers who comes and throws money around like it's nothing. We're supposed to uphold the laws, and you're supposed to be our helpers. I just thought I'd let that be known. So please read over your oath of office. The last thing I'd like to say is, would any one of you like to take a trip with me someday within the next couple of weeks to the store down in McHenry, the Myers store down in McHenry, and take a look at it? I hope in 10 years our store wouldn't look like that if we had one here, because if you look at it, it's worse than a Walmart down on 27th Street. It's, you know, and they're saying it's going to be an upscale type thing. Well, look at the way they run their stores before you. They might run some nice, but some are run really bad too. So, you know, you've got to take the good with the bad.
Okay.
Thank you.
The first, the answer to your first question is yes.
Okay. I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then I would ask that, why wasn't the city after the landowner who has that white building on the corner up there and have them level it and take care of some of the other stuff? The city should have been on top of that 15 years ago when it went vacant.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And a lot of other, the silos down Loomis Road and stuff, they look like heck, and nobody's after these people to get them down.
Alderman Taylor?
Your Honor, I just would like to just clarify, as I was asking what our policies are, is this still the policy of the city that if there's an issue on a property, it's pretty much driven by a complaint. That the city's policy is reactive, not proactive. Is that correct?
Yes, and the fact of the matter is, I can remember back to being an alderman on that particular site. There's been enforcement issues going back, I don't know how long, but yes, there's a complaint procedure.
Okay, so basically, if a person wanted to file a complaint against any property in the city of Franklin, they could, and that would start the process. I don't drive around, I don't think any of us drive around and notice a bolt in the front of someone's front yard knowing that's a violation. I mean, filing complaints. So if someone,
I know what you're saying.
All right, so just, and then secondly, I don't have any stock in fire, and I'm not going to answer your rhetorical questions.
I would I see a number of hands going up. This is a citizen's comment period. This is the chance for the average citizen to come forward and to address their community. I don't think it should get into an adversarial proceeding. Gentleman asks questions. That's his right to do so. So. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'll direct this to the chair. As reference to the question about the procedures on tonight's agenda as an item to have the city attorney's office look at the nuisance abatement procedure, which would include updating the complaint process, which the mayor mentioned took place in 1997, and upon my review is quite outdated, although it does follow what we are doing today.
Alderman Olson?
Well, Mr. Mayor, thank you. He did ask a specific question about the property in my district that he has a concern about, and that property has been subject to a number of complaints and filed by me, not by individuals, and issues with rulings just laid on the table from our inspections department has caused no action on it. They have cut the grass to my insistence. You had in front of you a letter to the broker for that property, reinstating my desire to have those properties taken down. Obviously, with a pending proposal, my hope was the pending proposal was taking care of the issue. Whether that remains to be seen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Return to the citizens' comment period.
Leroy Levandusky, 8030 West Winston Way. I want to bring up the quarry. Again, I attended the meeting, and due to some of the information that we received, they're saying that the quarry was in their limits for that last blast. And that's kind of unusual, because if all the people 2 miles away, including the police department, felt the blast, I think it's time that we do something about this business that we've got. And I think I suggested this some time ago, that it should come under the issue of a public nuisance. One of the other things, while attending that meeting, I was trying to explain what a berm was, and I was cut off by the chairman. But I want to bring up the fact that a berm, some time ago during the war, it came to the fact that the soldiers would dig a trench, and they'd throw the dirt up on top, and that pile of dirt become known as a berm. And the berms that we got now at the quarry are 60 to 90 feet. Somehow, people are allowing them to put these big hills and obstructing people's vision. There is a UDO that says you can't obstruct people's vision. And when I appeal to the plan commission, it says that part of the UDO does not apply to the quarry people. So I don't quite understand who determines what laws apply where, and I think once a law is written, it should apply for everybody, not just a few. So I just can't. One of the other things is that I had mentioned several times about the city debris with the asphalt laying all over in the parking lots and the grass, and I don't understand why, if Bennett's in charge, why he can't take care of that work. Now, I reported that twice. This is the third time he did nothing. I just want to put some pictures up in front here. Anybody see that?
That's typical of the way and operation of the DPW. They cut a groove in brand new asphalt. Sometimes they hit it, sometimes they don't. If you look closely, they missed it. They contend that
What's the location, sir?
Pardon?
The location of the picture.
This was at Mission Hill some years ago. Okay, I didn't get any fresh photographs of what was going on, but I have more. Like this one here, you can see that they missed the crack completely. This one here, they damaged the concrete. Here's another picture where they missed the crack completely.
Your shoulder's blocking the camera.
Pardon? Speak up a little louder.
Your shoulder is blocking the camera.
Thank you. But they cut this groove with the intention that that's supposed to seal it. To me, they're breaking the seal. Here's another picture where they actually missed the cutting of the groove. And here's a picture where they damaged the concrete on both of these pictures. It's almost the same picture, I believe. I'm bringing this up because here's a good example of a waste of what they're doing out there on the roads. I contend that because asphalt, when heated up, has a tendency to expand, you know, by traffic. If you look at the city buses, they always keep pushing their asphalt around at the stop signs. But this type of work that they do is useless. It damages everything. And if you check some, here's some more. If you check the parking lots, like Windham Hills or where Target is, they don't do that. And yet there's no damage done for the last, 8-10 years that they've been in existence. The thing is, I can't understand why Mr. Bennett can't clean up his act and at least pick up the debris. We should have, this is City Hall. It's his home, your home, my headquarters for the city, and there's no reason why we can't go after him and stop this nonsense. One of the other issues is that because of the DPW seems to be operated independently of some of the operations here, Bennett never does anything about issues. Example, there were some tree limbs that were damaged in my neighborhood and were hanging down and hitting my car, my SUV, because that's pretty high. And when I reported this to a police officer that was a traffic hazard, there was two or three trees that were that way, and he said he would talk to Mr. Schaefer about it. He did. And then he got back with me about 2 months later. He said it took 6 weeks for Jerry Schaefer to come out there and cut those branches. Now, there is also an ordinance, and if people would read it correctly, it stipulates that you cannot plant a tree, you cannot touch a tree, you cannot trim a tree, city property trees, as I'm referring to. And for some reason, Mr. Bennett doesn't seem to be aware of it. Because there's a gentleman in my neighborhood that trimmed four of those trees. I reported it. The DPW comes out. They finish the trimming. They could have arrested him. They could have cited him. I don't quite understand who is running the engineering department, the DPW. Please, somebody has to do something with that department.
The reason I was smiling is, I just came from a meeting in West Milwaukee this afternoon, and I don't know if you would even call it holes in the road. It was almost like the front of my car disappeared, and I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. I made a right turn and experienced exactly the same thing. I went a little bit further, and the whole road was all ripped up. There are portions of a lot of municipalities, some in Milwaukee, probably because of the lack of funding, transportation aids that aren't getting the maintenance that they once enjoyed. So, but if you get a chance, go down 43rd Street, just where the Journal Sentinel building is, make a right turn down there if you want to see some beauties of some potholes. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Excuse me.
Good evening. My name is Charles Peterson. I live in 6975 South Bryant Court, the Woodlands of Franklin subdivision. The purpose of my getting in front of the Common Council this evening is to talk about the nuisance premises that Alderman Wilhelm brought up earlier. I happen to live right down the road, Chief Oria, from a nuisance, and I would like to show the Common Council a photo of what it is that I have the pleasure of looking at every day. May I do that?
Yes.
I'm going to put these here.
Yeah.
That should still zero in on there. And the reason I'm here tonight is to talk about the cost that must be put against the city for looking at this and the nuisance that is in the neighborhood that was once a quite peaceful community. I don't know what this is, but the way this is written, it says that a public nuisance is defined as a thing, act, occupation, condition, or use of property which shall continue for such length as time to substantially annoy, injure, or endanger the comfort, health, and repose or public safety of the public, in any way render the public insecure in life or the use of property, greatly offend the public morals or decency, unlawfully and substantially interfere with, obstruct or tend to obstruct or render dangerous for passage any street, alley, highway, navigable body of water, or other public way or use of public property. It also talks about the peace in the community. I can tell you that I personally have made several calls to the police department regarding this residence, regarding the nuisance, regarding the fact that our children do not feel safe in the neighborhood, our wives cannot take walks down the street, people avoid our neighborhood, there's been garbage in the road blocking passage through, and multiple times there's been nothing but noise ordinances violations. I can't imagine the cost to the city that this is causing. I don't know what an officer makes, but I think it's in the tune of $120,000 a year. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
Probably with benefits. That's probably fair.
That's probably pretty fair, isn't it? And I can tell you that they've been at this guy's house no less than 100 times over summer. I, as a citizen, just received my water bill in the mail 2 days ago and noticed that my cost of my water went up 25%. Actually, it was 14%, correct? And it was supposed to go up 40%. There's only so much that we can continue to pay in the city of Franklin, and I'm sure that these type of properties in this community are causing a great deal of cost to this city. I don't understand why it is, if it's written under Section 119 penalty provisions, and it says in here that under the first offense, the guy's got to clean it up, and he can be fined no less than one and no more than $2,500. And if it continues, within 10 days, the officer will be back, and that same fine will be imposed. And if that isn't taken care of, then that person will then be subject to penalty of 90 days in jail for each offense. Is that correct? Am I reading this properly?
I don't have it in front of me. I haven't memorized it, but it sounds right.
I don't understand why none of this action has been taking place, and I don't understand why I, as a taxpayer in the city of Franklin, have to continue to pay for that. Imagine, Council, if that was right down your street, if you looked at that every time you pulled into your driveway. Imagine the frustration of a citizen that pays his taxes, that pays his water bill on time, and does nothing but want to keep peace in the community, to keep asking the people in charge why nothing is being done. I can't risk my safety in my household. It nerves me to know that now neighbors in my neighborhood have loaded firearms in their house to protect themselves against individuals like this. But yet, it's clearly written that they can be imposed up to 90 days for each offense. And there's been well over 100 citations given to this individual, and yet he has to spend no time in jail, other than the fact for warrants or outstanding traffic violations. That doesn't make any sense. All I want is peace to be brought back to the community, and for my taxes not to go up to continue to pay for things like this. And I think our police department has greater things to do than to be in my subdivision every day.
Are you supportive of the change to the ordinance?
I'm supportive that these people should definitely be paying. And what you guys want to charge them for doesn't matter to me, but there should definitely be a written statute as far as how much that fine is going to be. And if they don't pay it, then there should be jail time imposed. More importantly, I think the city, and I think the gentleman who spoke earlier about the building department not acting quickly, this process in my neighborhood started in February. We're in October, and nothing has been done to get it cleaned up. Our homeowners association has covenants and restrictions that clearly state that action will be taken against this property. We met with the chief of police. We met with Alderman Wilhelm. And the chief of police told us to not take that action because the city was going to be getting involved. That was a month ago. I understand the legislation process takes a very long time. However, I've had to try to explain to my 11-year-old daughter why she can't play outside all summer long. I had to explain to my daughter why she couldn't ride her scooter in the street and the police were called to my house on Father's Day. I have to explain to my wife why she needs to take a different route to walk the dog in the morning. All I'm asking is, if this was in your neighborhood, what would you do? And how quickly would you expect some action from the city? And how much more of your tax dollars would you want to continue to pay? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am.
I think protocol is I introduce myself. I'm yes. Kathy Weed Vincent, and thank you for letting me come up this evening. My address is actually a Greendale address right now. It's 5601 Bramble Court. I live down in an original in the village of Greendale where I grew up with my nine brothers and sisters, and I all grew up in the community of Greendale. But I've been a Greendale, Franklin, and a Greenfield teacher, and I'm here tonight to just introduce myself and let you know I am running for the State Assembly, the Wisconsin State Assembly, the 82nd District, which covers most of Franklin, all of Greendale, and six wards of Greenfield. I will just show you a little map here just for a second. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want you to know I have been walking through the neighborhoods over the course of this past year. The last 6 months, mostly in the last 2 to 3 months, I've actually been walking through all of the districts and the wards. If you don't mind holding it, that's great. I've gone to over 7,000 homes in the last 2 to 3 months, and I've visited neighborhoods and all the residents. In particular in Franklin, I want you to all know here tonight that I care very deeply about this community. I grew up in the community. I, as I said, taught here, and I moved from Brookfield back across town when I saw our state being torn in half over the last 2 years. I think family and friends in this community and all of the 82nd have always been about each other. I think we reach out to our neighbors. I know neighbors do care about their neighborhoods, and I heard that just before me here tonight. I walk through these neighborhoods every day tirelessly. I just came from walking. The sun sets at about 6:07 or 9 or 10 or whatever it is now. But I've been walking daily to get to know every resident as I can get to know them prior to the November 6th election. I think it's so important that at the state level that we have an understanding of what goes on in our local communities, our local government. Franklin is very different than Greendale, and it's also very different than Greenfield. And part of how I'm getting to know all the residents is to meet them on their doorsteps. I'm not raising tons of money. I'm trying to raise awareness. I care about this community deeper than probably anyone can imagine. I can't sleep right now knowing that our kids and our grandkids are going to inherit a mess of people that are not working together. Therefore, I've chosen to do this. It's a sacrifice. I put my teaching career on hold right now because I consider the entire state of Wisconsin, including Franklin, Wisconsin, to be part of my classroom right now. Daily, I can tell you that I hear the children playing in the playgrounds as I walk to each door. Sometimes I do have tears come to my eyes because I do belong in a classroom, but I also feel that we need people that understand the walk of our children, our neighbors, our community, and so that's why I'm running for the State Assembly. For those of you whose doors I maybe haven't been to in the community, please know that I'm trying to get to every one of them. I think between the three districts, Greendale, Franklin, and Greenfield, there's about 60,000 residents that I would be representing. Because I came from a large family, I can tell you I know all about working together and a large group of people. But it takes people working together. And the puzzle that you are all putting together here at the Common Council level, the mayor, the fire chief, and I have spoken many times. I've met the canine officer in Dagger. I'm a big dog lover. I just want you to know that I care very deeply about this community. I hope everyone in this room that is a resident of the 82nd District will consider me on November 6th, but more importantly, I will be a voice for this community, and I will sit down at the table with people on both sides. I'm happy to see my yard signs, which I don't really care about because they don't vote, but they're going into yards with Romney and Obama's names on them right now, and that's because people want people that are going to reach out to everyone. We don't want to be divided. We want to be together. And I just want you to know that I'm so happy I finally got here on time tonight because I race in after the doors. And I want you to know this community means very much to me. After November 6th, I will hopefully be back in the public schools substitute teaching. in this community, but when the election is decided, if I am sworn in January, I'll be working tirelessly at the state level like I do now. I get home after about 9 or 10 hours of canvassing every day to go through emails, voicemails, messages, whatever it is that people are reaching back out to me. I write personal letters on notes on every piece that I put in the doors, and it wasn't a lot of money that took that. It was just a lot of walking. And I can walk with the best of them. I will tell you, in 1997, I'm just going to say that my daughter and her dad and I hiked the entire Ice Age Trail, and I met the people of all of Wisconsin then, too. It's 1,000 miles. We camped out for 50 days. So I want you to know I moved back across town because Franklin, Wisconsin does matter to me, and everyone in this room needs to know that they will have someone that will work tirelessly and not give up on this community and continue to hear the voice of all of the people, because that's what this is about. So thank you for having me here tonight. I have spoken to some of the people up at the front here already personally, but I want you to know that I'd love to sit down individually with each of you, and I want to be part of this puzzle. It's a puzzle that has to have all pieces come together, including what goes on in our neighborhoods. I walk through these neighborhoods every day now, and people are proud of the neighborhoods, especially in this community. When I hear about services that get cut, especially we're talking paramedics a couple of meetings back, I want you to know I value that, and I think it's important. I think at the state level, we need people that are going to vote on behalf of our communities, and I am one of those people that will do that. So please know I'm walking every day for all of us, and my face is just the face on it, but it's not for me only. It's for all of us. So for those of you I haven't met individually right now, please know I've been in every ward for all the aldermen and women. I want you to know I've been in every single ward, and I've tried to reach in every one area to get to know the people, and I just consider this one pebble in a pond that ripples out to all of us. And thank you for holding the map, but that pebble only continues to spread out in ripples by each one of us reaching out and helping our neighbors. So thank you. I got a little long-winded, but I really appreciate this opportunity, and please know that I hope I can represent this community very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Carrie Weber, 6960 South Bryan Court. I wasn't sure how this forum works, so I didn't prepare anything at all. I just wanted to second what Robert had said. I also live in this cul-de-sac and look at this every day, so I agree with the nuisance ordinance as well. I mean, basically, imagine you come home from a hard day at work. You're looking forward to a nice, peaceful sleep. We pay all this money for a nice conservancy in wetlands area. You like to open up your window on a nice afternoon, evening, get a cool breeze, listen to the birds chirp, and bam, you hear all this crap getting pulled out of the garage at 3 o'clock in the morning with paint cans and tanks and 2x4s and pipes being thrown around. Seriously,
in
the garage.
By the way, this is a nightly occurrence, and nothing is being done. I called 2 days ago in regard to this subject, and the cops came by, and it seems like this individual is getting more and more, what would you say, smart in the way of eluding Franklin's finest.
As soon as you call the cops, he'll stop. It's like you know he called.
Throwing down pipes.
And he'll go back inside, so by the time the officers come around, it's quiet. You've already been disturbed. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can't get back to sleep.
Honking his horn and then stopping. It's amazing. You can have the windows closed, everything sealed up on your house, and you're still going to hear it. And it's getting just ridiculous.
So you support the change to the ordinance?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like
anyone else wishing to...
A lot higher carpet. Great neighborhood.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
I just want to enlighten a statement about public nuisance. And again, I'm mentioning the quarries. To change the laws, we got to do something about that public nuisance down there, because the dust, the dirt, and the noise.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Seeing none, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to item 2, announcements from me, upcoming events. You have a resolution expressing the Intergovernmental Cooperation Council's position on the Milwaukee County Election Commission's shift of election programming costs upon the municipalities. I bring it to you just for informational purposes. As you can see, yet to secure Mayor Scafidi's name on it. When I do, I'll be moving it forward to the proper party. I think the other reason is you're all aware of the issues that have come to your attention in the past regarding election issues. Item B is a memo from Supervisor Marina Dmitrievich. I had put on the ICC agenda the issue of County Executive Chris Abley's budget, as well as the issue regarding the park patrols. You have the actual agreement that's being worked out or has been worked out between the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County regarding the sheriff's duties. My understanding is the county board has not voted on this subject matter, and therefore it is a draft agreement. You also have contained in the packet, there should be a memo from Chief Oliva, because I asked him to do some research regarding the number of calls that our police department had received regarding parks issues. It was a very rough draft of the number of calls that have come in. Not all the calls came from parks management. Many just came from 911 callers. We don't really know whether any other calls went to the sheriff's department or not. The reason for that is that it's been claimed that calls that concerning park patrols have been sent to the sheriff's department, and then the sheriff's department would just reroute those back to the municipalities. You may also have read in the newspaper that when Chris Abley held his press conference regarding this issue, that City of Milwaukee, I believe, is going to receive, if this goes through, about $1.3 million of funding that currently goes to the sheriff's department. And then threw in and said, well, $125,000 whatever was left would be split amongst the municipalities by the ICC. Just bringing us back to your attention, there had been no prior conversation, nor has there been any real conversation with any of the members of the ICC regarding this issue. I reminded the county executive that the City of Milwaukee is actually a member of the ICC. So, in fact, if you're going to call it divvy up the pie, it should be based on some sort of a formula. I guess the last reason I bring it to your attention is while our officers have been responding to these types of calls in the past, primarily, maybe it's not because it's a park issue, they're responding because it's a call within our boundaries. I have a bad feeling about if you receive money or if you take money from an entity, it might be considered an implied contract. And then let's say like the EMS paramedic system, one year you get $3 million, and the following year you get $1.5 million, and then you get no money, but yet you're still obligated to provide the service. So I'm very, very wary of the entire issue. I think it's to the credit of the police department that we are responding to issues within the parks. Have we agreed to take over the responsibilities for the sheriff? No. And that's a policy matter that should come to you. I don't think $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 is going to go anywhere near trying to cover the costs for our police departments. But that's why I'm bringing it to your attention. Alderman Olson and Alderman Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I share your concern exactly for that particular reason. We are providing a service to Milwaukee County that's free for them, and yet they're transferring tax dollars, a percentage of which is recovered from the City of Franklin, and handing it to the City of Milwaukee for their purposes in their jurisdiction. There's a lot of smarter people in this room than I am. I look specifically at the city attorney. But my guess is that's not legal. I can't see how this is legal. They're taking taxes acquired from one community and giving to another. I'm not sure ICC should look into that. And I do note that there's a transmittal letter here from the Office of the Corporation Council. You figure that they'd look at this too. But well, this is just bad business. And where's our portion of this if they're going to do it? You know, this is crazy. Alder Advisor Taylor, I hope, is all over this one.
President Solomon?
I, too, am very, very concerned about this. As you can tell, I even flagged it on my council agenda, which is, let me just say this. I'm aware of some huge problems at the sports complex. And they are supposed to maintain jurisdiction of that particular facility. They have failed miserably in the past. I do recall one Labor Day weekend when we were just very lucky to have a host of officers on board, because about an hour after we closed the St. Martin's Fair on a Monday evening, all hell broke loose over there. And I do believe, as I recall, and Gaylord, I think this was before Chief, but I think Gaylord can attest to this fact, I think we had 7 or 8 or 9 squad cars over there. We should not be put in this position. I mean, that's their facility. They're responsible for maintaining that facility and the security of that facility. I'm going to move that this letter be placed on the next committee of the whole meeting.
Second. The move and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Taylor?
What was the motion?
The letter be placed on the next committee of the whole.
That's fine. All right. Not just in general. Alderman Olson, if you want to be insulting, I would prefer Superman compared to Alder Weiser, if you want to stoop to the level of some of your fans out there. That being said, I don't think that's a title, really. So, anyways, we are working on this. I'll tell you now, this is DOA. It was DOA when it came out. There are 7 supervisors in La Crosse, Wisconsin Counties Association, all mad as hell, because this broke without any conferring with us. And it's right now with me, Supervisor Borkowski, Supervisor Sanfilippo are working on an amendment. But the problem is, when you have a budget that's presented to us with a 0% levy increase, and there's a $1.7 million hole, we have to come up with $1.7 million elsewhere in a budget that is, I mean, basically going on the backs of the employees of Milwaukee County, which I'm okay with. We've done that here to balance budgets, given the tools that we have. But we're having to come up with the money. But at the same time, you have 17 other supervisors, 14, 13, whatever, they're working their own amendments to spend more money. Because, you know, we were given the tools to raise taxes up to growth. So I think we can go up to like $9 million based on everything in front of us, including we hear all the time we need more money for the ICC, you know, or not for the ICC, for the EMS paramedic program. That $1.5 million is not enough. So Alderman Olson, we are working on that.
Okay. There's a motion,
step up quick.
Motion on the floor. It's been seconded. For the record, Alderman Taylor is stepping out. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item is Wisconsin Department of Transportation Improvement Program. You just have the map. I wanted to know if, and I don't know if you'll do it, but Dwayne Johnson came to the ICC and spent probably 15, 20 minutes going through all of the construction projects, everything that's going on in Milwaukee County, probably up to the year 2020. I just wanted to bring it to your attention to see if there's an interest in maybe either having Dwayne or someone else from his department coming down and addressing it.
I would say so. I think you should, with everything going on.
Mr. Liberta, can you just make a note to the file to maybe contact Dwayne, see if he'd be available or one of his agents? It was very, very informative. Next is informational mayoral proclamation designating Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. No questions. And then the last one is a letter from Wisconsin Underground Contract Association. I don't know if you, any of you had the chance, but what it basically says, this gentleman came in front of the mayors and village presidents and said, if you're going to do construction projects and involving sewers, best time to do it is now or just before now. And contained, I believe, on page, is that page 2 or page 3? It's got the Franklin Ryan Road Sanitary Sewer Extension. I asked Kevin Schaefer, who was at the meeting, about Mr. Wants' letter and if he wanted to make any statements. And I think he said that the Bryan Creek Interceptor has come in, it's on time, it's under budget, it's way under budget, it's under budget by millions of dollars. So the city was very wise in moving forward during this economic crisis because we got great prices on things. And you are now part of the documents for, this has been distributed all over Wisconsin. And he was advocating that, in fact, if you have more projects, you should bring them forward, which sounds good. With that, I'm going to move to the minutes of October 1st, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the meeting of October, minutes of October 2nd, 2012.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Go to item E1, boards, commissions, appointments. Curtis Bolton. Mr. Bolton, there should be a little note in there saying that he would volunteer to be on the Environmental Commission.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Madam Clerk.
On the appointment council action sheet, it does list 430. It should say 430.15. It's replacing somebody in its vacant position, so it should be 2015.
All right, no further discussion. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Salmon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to letters and petitions. A letter from Jane Harmeyer, Franklin Forest Fast Pitch Softball Club, requesting a renewed agreement. Alderman Skransky?
No, everything's fine there. They've done a good job. I'd recommend extension of their agreement with the City of Franklin.
Is that a motion to that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Alderman Solomon and Alderman Olson.
I agree they've done a good job, no problems. However, one of the things that the next future council is going to have to look at is the availability of moving those fields to a different piece of land so we have more space at the city garage. I realize that has not been talked about yet. I realize that everybody has different views on this. However, for next year, I think it would be okay at this time, but we should realize that those are going to have to be moved to another location soon.
Mr. Schaefer has, I've gone out there and walked the sites with him and the fences and all that. You are correct, there will come a day where people should not get used to maybe having those ball diamonds out there. But that day has not yet arrived.
Correct.
Alderman Olson.
No issues with this whatever, except for we're approving something we don't have in front of us. We should have the contract in front of us before we...
I'm fine with that, but I wanted, as usual, people are trying to get things
schedule
in place and do things quickly, so... Alderman Skransky.
There is an agreement on file. There is an out, opt-out, in case there is anything. And as we all know, nothing happens overnight in a community, in a development. So if they finish the season, there is not a renewal. If there's anything else, it's And that's been all part of the original agreement, so the city's not locked into it.
I did ask, there was quite a bit of negotiations that took place, was it last year, a year and a half ago? About last year. And we did get a, what I'd say is a pretty good agreement. It's favors the city quite a bit. And prior to that, it was an open-ended handshake, attaboy relationship. Good relationship, but nonetheless, it was better to have a contract in place. Alderman Olson.
Again, I have no issues whatever, but we should have a piece of paper in front of us. And depending on how this goes, I'll vote no if we don't have a contract in front of us. But I don't have an issue in the world with these people. Let's just do it right.
Alderman, I would agree with the two aldermen. Maybe it's my fault for not bringing it forward, but we could get it back here in less than 2 weeks, which should be more than adequate notice. Everybody up here is signaling they have absolutely no problem with it. So I guess I'd ask, city attorney? City attorney.
I understood. I'm just going to change the date.
That's it. Yeah.
So it's what'll come back.
So it's a contract that you approved previous with a change of the date. They're real nice people.
Check your mail a year ago. Go ahead, bring it back, satisfy them.
We could wait for
that. Yeah. Play ball.
Grass isn't growing yet.
It's not like you need this today.
It is right. What a joke. Go ahead.
Want to withdraw the motion? And
yeah, bring it back in 2 weeks so everybody's satisfied and they can read their stuff over. They got a year ago. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Item one, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for approval of special use for a physical fitness facility use upon property located at 11320 West Forest Home Avenue.
Move to approve.
Second. There's no problem there. Peeper Electric is moving out of the building. The owner is leasing it. Thank God there's no empty building, which is good. And it'll be fine. And I have no problem with it. I make the Alderman solid motion. I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to nuisance
Thank
premises.
You.
Ordinance review, Mr. City Attorney.
Only to note for the record that Alderman Taylor turned right there. That's been a discussion item F.
Thank you. Nuisance premises ordinances. Looking at Chief Oliva. Well, the first meeting. It's unfortunate that the people that spoke during the citizens' comment period stuck around for this. We've had meetings regarding matters where people, it appears, might be abusing the system, where the police are going out to a person's home or person's homes on a repeated basis, really taxing the resources of our police department. Could be that you have parties where the police department has made 50 visits to a specific home or more, but there is no criminal infraction. There are civil matters requiring enforcement by building inspection, planning, or our police department, where there's fines that are levied, but no criminal, there's been no criminal violation. And so, because our police force and our staff is having to go out there, there's a huge amount of time that's being devoted to these types of calls. All of us former aldermen, we all know that there are 5-6 different areas, homes in an area, maybe more. If you're lucky, maybe it's 5 or 6 where you're visiting it much more frequently than others. There was a corner that was brought up tonight that's been the subject of a lot of discussion over the years. But then there are some where, you know, you have 6 pages of individual responses from our police department going to a home. You know, that calls for our ordinances maybe to be tweaked a little bit and to, you know, bring in some penalties, some financial penalties that currently are not available to us. The last time we were on this subject, this was referred both to the police chief and to the city attorney. And they looked at the city of Milwaukee's ordinances to see if they're applicable for Franklin. As a result of that, they're going to have a report back for you tonight. Even with all of these changes, if the council chose to put them in place, I don't think that there is any... It's not going to be an instant fix to these types of problems. We have a much larger issue that's brewing in all the communities. And I ran into Dennis Amaturo. You know Dennis. He's your constituent. Used to be deputy director of the mental health complex in Milwaukee County. I want to say that at one time they had 3,400 patients a day in that facility. And now it's down to about 280. It's not that there's not a need for it. It's just that there are more individuals out on the streets than there are that are confined. And so we as municipalities are going to be confronted more and more with these types of issues. And Chief knows that we had the Chief Judge of Milwaukee County came down and talked about some issues. The county executive talked about some ways of trying to take care of this. Terrific idea was put out there, and then we never got any response back about creating kind of a position that's a little bit, well, it's quite a bit less than a police officer, but it would be a person that goes out and tries to administer these types of issues.
No, we can go in there.
Well, this came from the Chief Judge of Milwaukee County and his staff. I believe that all the police chiefs were pretty sympathetic to looking at that type of initiative. But anyhow, I'll call on Alderman Wilhelm.
Thank you, Mayor, for the opening on that. There's been several instances, not just the one that was brought forward tonight, that was discussed, but other issues that have led me to look at the municipal code and the procedures. There seems to be a little bit of things that might be missing that we could maybe strengthen that, and because of the lateness of the document that's in front of you, I'm just going to read the first part of it so people in the audience and the people that tried to get the packet online or weren't able to get this can understand what this is about. The Municipal Code 178 defines and regulates nuisances. When a dwelling is requiring a disproportionate amount of police or other city resources, a review and possible strengthening of the cost recovery procedure would be a great benefit to the entire community. Detailing a nuisance abatement procedure for leveraging timely action and cost recovery would benefit enforcement officials and assist the city with dealing with excessive code violations by property owners who fail to act. This procedure would remove the burden on adjacent landowners and provide enforcement officials not only the appropriate authority to intervene, but a clear and concise cost and nuisance abatement procedure aimed at eliminating questions on timing for elevated action. The below administrative nuisance abatement outline is for legal counsel's consideration during their continued review of the nuisance premise ordinance for repeated violations and or excessive use of non-emergency police response, aka nuisance. The current 911 misuse policy is similar in logic, reasoning, and city benefit. In contrast, this policy would protect the caller or complainant, but then would direct action toward resolving multiple violations that place a burden on city resources. This procedure would allow more efficient action on local issues. It'd be similar to the licensing committee review and its authority. And I actually had struck that out and removed that language after talking with Assistant City Attorney Brian Zajac. Modified as needed, the language could be inserted into the code prior to or in place of Section 178-9, titled Cost Abatement. The complaint process memo dated 1997, which is attached to this document you received tonight, should be updated to reflect today's process. Following the nuisance abatement information are a few items for legal counsel's review aimed at assisting staff with foreclosed or abandoned homes. This request also includes more those reviews for possible changes.
For clarification, this is a document that was not included in our packet?
That's correct.
We were given this just tonight?
Yes, that's correct.
So the alderman and myself and... Right. I don't know that the police chief or the city attorney have had a chance to read any.
Police chief, I've talked it over with the city attorney and assistant city attorney and the police chief, and I've asked him to take a look at it. I want you to know that the items that go 178.9 are just my numbering of suggested wording for them to look at. This isn't anything that I want you to say, we're going to do this, we're not going to do this. This is items where they could look at and then bring it back, and it may look nothing like this when it comes back from the city attorney. But if you look at the second one where it says, note, this section could mirror the current complaint process, in our current municipal code, there isn't a spelled-out process about how we would go from step to step. That process is done in the complaint memo, which is dated 1997, and while the complaint process we're using seems to work quite well, it falls short on some instances like some of the ones we've been dealing with. And it also is outdated in some of its language. So my thought was, if we're going to update it, why not put it in or have the city attorney's office look at possibly including that, so if there's a nuisance and you want to know what the policy is, it goes step by step. And no, all departments are aware of how that policy would proceed. Right now, it gets to a point, and then really no one knows quite exactly how to proceed. City Attorney's office has been extremely helpful with working through this, and I think because he has a real good handle on the procedure, he'll be able to flesh this out really well. And So I am prepared to make a motion, but I would like the police chief to give his input on that, and I'll just give the floor.
Well, I mean, there are properties in the city that consume an extreme amount of police services and, of course, other city services, but from a police department standpoint, there's properties that we end up going to many, many times, and... was familiar with an ordinance from the city of Milwaukee that basically dealt with these nuisance-type properties, and basically at a certain point, when we declare a certain property a nuisance, after a fair warning, we start charging these people for police services because, again, it's so excessive. And it worked well in mitigating and abating a lot of the nuisance properties, especially at rental properties. So that was a suggestion. In consultation with the city attorney, we realized the city of Milwaukee's ordinance really wasn't well applicable to Franklin, and subsequently the city attorney identified several sections of the current ordinance that I believe concurred with him that would apply in identifying certain properties as nuisance, public nuisances. And then what is missing, which I agree is missing, is really a mechanism, a process to enforce that so that we can actually take steps and start charging these people every time we have to go there and provide police services and other city services. So I would support that.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Skransky and Alderman Salmon.
Excuse me, Mr. Alderman,
well,
I'll be able
to.
Oh, are you finished? Yes, I would like to floor back because I have okay. A motion. But I'll wait. I'd like to get everyone else's input.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm all for updating this. I
I'd like to talk about it at some point after we can digest this. There's some timing issues here that I would like to see shown up. Maybe we kind of I am. But I've been through a couple of these issues, more than a couple. It'll take some discretion. But I think one of the things that ought to be primary in our mind is we need to set firm penalties such that they can be administered legally but quickly. I've been through some of these where it goes to court, it's delayed some more, it's delayed some more after that, a little bit more after that, and a few days more after that, and finally something happens. And by that time, everybody's so worn out. So that would be my only suggestion. I'd like to talk about this more, but I'd like to see something else. Because this is, that's silly.
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, I agree. The nuisance ordinance, maybe in time to time, because society changes, their attitudes change, and you have to look at it. I guess this is a clear example of the guy's a slob, let's face it.
There's no individual that we're talking about specifically.
No, I have no idea who he is. But the care and custody of your own property, taking care of it, is, I think, each homeowner's responsibility and respect to your neighbor. But there are extreme areas, and then there are the very minimal areas. And when you get into the areas of where it becomes a nitpicking fight between neighbors, that's where you have to be extremely cautious. And it may be, it's about time Alderman Olson agrees with me, because we've gone through that. We've had that. That's the bad part of this thing. So we have to be fair and concise when it comes down to this. I also have a concern that it's about time that if anybody makes a complaint, it should be recognized. On our books right now, you're anonymous. I think it's about time, if somebody has a justified complaint and has a reason for complaining, they should be recognized, and it should be known who's doing the complaining. Because there has been very many instances, and we all have had them in our areas, that somebody does it just to be a proverbial pain. And that's where you misuse the system by hiding behind the anonymity of, well, I'll just write another complaint, have somebody go out, but they're not going to know who it is. And I don't think that's right either. But a person to take care of their property, I think it's anybody's responsibility to take care of the property. Take care of the value, the kids, and the neighborhood. And in some cases, you start getting into unfriendly little rodents coming around and everything else because people ain't taking care of their stuff. So, yeah, I'd like to have this thing postponed for a while. We can all dip into it. But there's a lot that can be misused in this ordinance, and there should be a lot that it should be used judiciously and to get it taken care of in a reasonable amount of time that can back up the fire department or the police department or even the building inspection department that should have been out there taking care of these with a reasonable manner. And don't read it in between the lines. Use the lines of the ordinance in order to get something done. So, thank you.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Wilmer.
I agree with everything everybody said here. And the most difficult part of this will be neighbor on neighbor. I concur with that. I try to stay away from that as much as I can, because you're never going to win. You can't win. You try to make a compromise, but it's, in most cases, it's very difficult. I do agree with Alderman Olson that minimum fines must be put in here, and they must be followed, and the proceedings must be in a very, very timely manner. You can't park a $10,000 boat on your front, in front of your garage, for more than 2 weeks. I don't want to go there, what's on the screen, but something is very, very inadequate in this particular case. It needs to be corrected. This is ridiculous.
Just so it's clear, my understanding is there have been multiple citations given. The police department has tools available, enforcement measures on these particular situations. So I said earlier that there's a matter of civil charges and then there's criminal charges. So far, my understanding is there have been no criminal violations so far.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, this is necessary. I think each of us have had, depends on how long you've been up here, a number of these issues. I think we all can agree on that. And none of them are fun. And they do wear you out because they go on and they go on and they go on. And, you know, I brought up earlier today, with, I think, during Citizen Comment Period about the boat situation. If none of the neighbors around it doesn't bother them, well, then there's not a big deal. I mean, this, like I said, it's not proactive, it's reactive. But when we react, we need to have teeth. And I think one of the issues that we're going to have, I think we're all going to take this extremely serious, which I'm hearing that we are, we need to have a conversation with the municipal judge and say, with all respect, and say, listen, this kind of kicking down the road, which at times I understand, you know, giving people time to, but these are not those issues. These are the ones that are causing real problems in a neighborhood. There's a disruption to the way of life of many of these people that live in that subdivision. If we all have a couple of them, those are ones that it's not just kicking down the road. It's actually, this is the law. You either follow it or you pay the price. I think we have to have that conversation in the most cordial way possible.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Chief Oliva and Alderman Schmidt.
I just want to make it clear that this is not before you just for one particular item. This is to benefit everyone, and so I didn't want to single out any particular problem. I think the key word here is excessive code violations and the disproportionate amount of use on staff services. The items before you below the language, which are numbered, throw in X days and 4 weeks as just a place filler. So the attorney's office would know that those need to be looked at based on current code and what he feels is appropriate. So please don't think that those times are something that we need to stick to by any means, or any of the language for that matter. These are only suggestions. On the second page, there's an item for penalties and cost recovery liens. And I had it specifically when I talked to the city attorney about this. We did realize there are plenty of provisions for cost recovery with fines, and they are in Chapter 1 of the general provisions. So I noted that there, so when they do the review, they'll have to check, and then we might need to look at those current fines if they need to be brought up to date or not. Also in this, which we have not really discussed much, but some of the citizens did, is inclusion of foreclosed or abandoned homes in premise maintenance. In my district, I've got a couple of foreclosed homes that are in continuous need of maintenance that we never can seem to really locate who the owner is. So I would, and this is kind of new to the city. We haven't had a lot of foreclosures. So I thought that that might be another area where they could look at and give us some suggestions to that area. So I'm hoping that this city attorney's office can bring us back something that we will be able to review by November. It's not really necessary for us to read what's here because it's probably not going to be exactly what, by any means, what the city attorney's office is going to come up with. So I'm going to make my motion, and if the city or police chief still would like to have a suggestion to change that motion, I would be welcome to open up to that.
But, what is your motion?
I'm going to move to direct the legal counsel to continue review of the nuisance ordinance and abatement procedures and the related items as presented by Alderman Wilhelm, with input from the Chief of Police and other pertaining departments, with the intent to update and strengthen the code and report back to the Common Council at the first meeting in November.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded under discussion.
Yeah.
Chief Oliva, Alderman Schmidt, Alderman Olson, Alderman Skronsky.
No, I was just going to clarify, as far as the police department's concerned, it's not about asking to create any fines or increase any fines. We have enough ordinances that we have enforced that we, you know, can get citations paid and fines levied, at least for the police department. We're looking at properties with excessive police services at some point to be able to charge for our services, our time spent there. So that's over and above the actual fines.
Alderman Schmidt.
Obviously, there are we've all been dealing with residents who have complaints against their neighbors. I know I made sure the one with a trailer being parked next to the house that maybe it was too long. But you do have at least neighbors for a large part that are can be civilized about it and addressing the complaints. And obviously, there are concerns with others who they have mental issues too that are kind of a different way of fractions. We have someone who has a perpetual yard sale that goes away. I think there is a need to have something with more teeth in it that they can follow the procedure as was suggested by the motion.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Skransky.
Thank you. Just a suggestion to the city attorney. I don't know that we need to add this to the motion, but in the section that deals with abandoned and foreclosed homes, we also need some language relative. Even though the weed ordinance is in place, it's 18 inches, and if you live next door to an abandoned house at 18 inches, you're still not happy. There is an issue with those who have mental health issues. I've dealt with a pretty severe one myself. Well, I've worked on this. What I meant to say was... we had an issue, and it was successfully resolved through both the health officer and his staff, to some degree, the police department. Those are separate parts of what we're talking about here. Alderman Skransky mentioned the anonymity. The city won't accept a form, provided it's filled out in a form, that is not signed by a complainant. The name is kept in confidence. We're going to retribution. And I just filled one out tonight for that particular reason, so I'm unfamiliar with that. But I'd like to see this go forward. And
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, well, I just, and I've said it, if somebody's got something to complain, let them be known who's doing the complaining. I don't have a problem with that. That just cuts down on the ones that are perpetual complainers for no reason whatsoever. And if you got a legitimate case, why not? You know, so what? As far as the maker of the motion, I would ask that the time length, because just to come back in 2 weeks and everything that we're discussing here, to extend that maybe 30 days or 45 days, because as you requested have it come back here in 2 weeks, the first meeting in November, I don't think that's time enough for the city attorney and for all of us to be doing tweaking on this. And this is going to be a round time, and why keep bringing this thing back? So I'm asking for an extension to just be reasonable. Because the city attorney's got a lot of other stuff, and this is important, no question about it, but, you know, there's only so many hours in a day. But I'm going to be adamant about if somebody's going to write a complaint, let them put their line, stand up to the line, be recognized, because I've had enough in my district, as we all know, in 2009-10 with the foreclosures of house in Prairie Grass, and I've had a monumental problems and working with the Homeowners Association, the city attorney, foreign banks that had the mortgages on these places, which could just thumb their nose, and we didn't have anything to say because of the mortgages, and I was trying to find out who's who did what. I agree, we were working, we got a lot of it done on the outside, at least make the outside of the property proper. The inside of the house was unfinished. That's no problem. Let it unfinished until they get the problems resolved with their mortgages. But at least get the yards, get the pile of dirt down, get some grass in there, make it reasonable to the rest and the respect to the rest of the neighbors in the neighborhood. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can go into this, but I would be definitely against anything that is going to be a nitpicking between neighbors and stuff like that, because we all have them in our area, and we don't need that. So I know myself, if I get involved in it, I'll go and talk to both neighbors, try and get it resolved and get it off the table. So that's my opinion.
Alderman Wilhelm?
This was first before the Common Council on August 21st of this year, so August, September, going through October, end of November. So for every one person that would like to see it delayed, I can probably bring in 20 people that would like to move forward faster. I would be willing to amend the time to the last meeting in November, but I think delaying it more than that would not serve the city. I'll amend my motion to have it come back to the Common Council at the last meeting.
And you were the second?
Yeah, I'll second that. I think plus we get to the budget and everything else.
I do have something to say. Yep.
Your Honor?
Yeah. As we're going through this conversation, it's gone from a singular issue to a change that will affect every resident in the city of Franklin. I'm going to just go back to the code enforcement officer that was in place. All of us have heard the stories over time. There's definitely a need to beef up our ordinances. But, you know, let's not take a shotgun approach to the problem, a singular problem. Let's try and bring some wisdom and some rational, reasonable thought process here. Even with all of the, and I think the suggestions that Alderman Wilhelm's making are very good, but even with all of these, if they were to come about, does not mean that this singular issue is going to be rectified overnight or any of the areas or issues in your respective aldermanic districts. There is no such thing as a miracle ordinance. And the last piece I wanted to talk about is I think it's about 2 years ago that all of the municipalities in Milwaukee County were investigating whether they should sue Milwaukee County because mental health patients were showing up on the doorsteps and our police officers were having to go out instead of social workers and pick up the mental health patients, and instead of putting them in a professional mental health facility, these mental health patients, which have no control over, you know, their status, it's a disease, were being put in lockups. So, you know, please, as we're going through this, let's not, let's take some caution, some wisdom. And the police department is, whenever they can, and the building inspection, whenever they're appraised of these things, are trying to take as much action as they possibly can, but actions that they also believe will make it through the court systems. There's no purpose in putting forward an action if you know that it's got little to no chance of making it through the court systems. So, you know, the city is in pretty good shape. You as aldermen have done a very good job out there. 99.9% of the residents are not a problem. We do have, from time to time, some that come up and some that really are irritants to all of us. So I think the suggestions are good, but, you know, let's remember 99% of the people are fine. Okay, Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I appreciate your input. I think that our attorney's office has always been reasonable with providing us sound advice, and I expect that to continue, as well as our advice from our police chief and our department heads, who will also be included in this for the final version that's presented to us for our consideration in November. So my motion stands.
Okay. Motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item three. Is there something on TV tonight? Is there a presidential debate?
Yeah. Okay. 10 minutes. No big deal.
Resolution authorizing officials to execute a contract for installation of supervisory control and data acquisition.
So moved. Second.
Seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
At what dollar amount? My recommendation would be the $185.98.
The Board of Water Commissioners tonight recommended
the alternative bid for 231-308.
Again, I point out that the budget was $195,000.
Alderman Solomon, did you make the motion?
Yes, I move to approve the 231-308.
I said I did.
Okay.
Second.
It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G4, resolution authorizing officials to purchase software and licensing for water and sanitary sewer, supervisory control, and data acquisition.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson?
No budget count listed here. In the budget?
That's part of the 231 or the 190.
Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. I asked the city attorney to come forward with kind of an update for you on what's been going on. It's been appearing in the newspapers. Things that have not come to, not formally have come to you or to me in a formal, let's say, a contract, etc. I will tell you that there have been discussions with the water utility manager from Waukesha, Dan Dusniak, with me and with Mr. Bennett. The way I would see those discussions was, well, we have negotiations going on with Racine, we have negotiations going on with these guys, we have negotiations going on with that guy. I just want to kind of update you on that. The other piece of it is there may be a possibility that a water utility water authority could be built. There may be a need to return water this way or that way, depending on whether the Racine deal goes through or the Oak Creek deal goes through, or I suppose at the time even the Milwaukee deal at that time was on the table, off the table, whatever. To say that there's been any agreement whatsoever to construct or put a pipe in the ground along Putes Road that would tear up all of Putes Road and disturb everyone's life right through a residential neighborhood, the answer is no, there is not. And nor has there been any contract or negotiations over that subject matter. As you saw in the paper, I was greatly disturbed that we have two communities apparently have reached a deal talking about constructing a pipe right through the heart of our community, and no one has brought a contract forward for my review or your review. There's a whole issue of whether Franklin, this common council, even thinks allowing a pipe to run to Waukesha should happen. That's a policy decision. I understand the authority of our water utility board, and I think they do a great job. I think Jack has done a fantastic job as the utility manager over the years, and it shows. But when it comes to tearing up city streets and acquiring properties and making policy decisions as to whether Waukesha should or shouldn't get water and whether the city of Franklin should cooperate, to say nothing of the water returning, those are all policy decisions that rest here. And I am going to take great exception to us not being involved in any of the discussions. So with that, I'll turn it over to the city attorney. Alderman Taylor, Jeff.
My thought was simply to give you a historical iteration of what's transpired here. There is litigation ongoing. I'll leave it at that. Hearing in front of the Public Service Commission was held on April 26th. Briefs by the parties were due the next month. Off the top of my recollection, without going in boxes of files, that would have been on or about May 28th, because I know that was all 3 days of the Memorial Day weekend. staff from Public Service Commission issued a memorandum with decision matrix in the middle of June on the 15th in effect to assist the decision maker at Public Service Commission with the various issues. I believe there were some 11 issues. Two were agreed to by the parties and nine were contested. And the staff briefing memorandum invited comments from participating parties, which obviously was Oak Creek and Franklin, but also Caledonia, which is another wholesale customer of Oak Creek Utility. Those comments were filed back on June 26th. A decision and part of the information provided within the staff briefing memorandum was that the Public Service Commission had delegated the decision-making authority to its water division administrator. So a staff administrator would be rendering the decision based upon the record. The Common Council has received most of the documents, as I recall, including the decision, final decision. Part of the multiple filings by the City of Franklin noted at the conclusion of the hearing on April 26th that Council for Oak Creek suggested a less than usual, each party files a brief, then the other party files a reply brief, and then the other party files a reply to the reply. And because the record was pretty complete, there was no need for that, and a single brief from each party filed concurrently would do under these circumstances. And the Franklin utility lawyer said, quote, that that's an accurate statement. So there is a pretty complete record. The decision was issued by the administrator on July 20. Note that we're doing something every few weeks here with regard to filings and postings of and decisions being made on this particular matter. All of this, by the way, is available on the Public Service Commission website on WIS.gov. On August 15th, Oak Creek petitioned to the Commission to reconsider or rehear an issue which Franklin prevailed upon, which was the public fire protection issue. And I skipped the iteration of all the issues involved because the council previously had an accounting on that, but Oak Creek prevailed under the administrator's final decision on five of the issues, and the City of Franklin prevailed on four. Oak Creek, therefore, is looking for a reconsideration of one of the issues, which it didn't prevail on. Franklin responded, and off the top of my head, as a counter petition, in response, countered the basis for the Oak Creek request for reconsideration or rehearing, but then in counter as a response petition for, okay, if the commission's going to rehear this, then it ought to rehear. I think Franklin listed three of the four issues, or four of the five issues, which it had not prevailed on. Oak Creek replied they didn't like the response encounter. They said it was untimely. They also recognized the commission could do it anyway when it's looking at the subject matter upon the commission's own motion, so they didn't even need any petitions to rehear if it intended to do so. And so we're through the month of August at this point. The commission then issues an order about September 26th, reopening the docket. And part of Franklin's request was larger issues. In this particular case was an argument by Franklin that it should not have to share in the cost of what was referred to as excess capacity, which in very simplest terms was a result of a $13.5 million investment. Which Franklin, and through its experts as well as the utility manager and staff, considered to be sufficient to provide water service in terms of utility capacity to serve utility demand to the city of Waukesha without any further improvement other than somebody, in effect, putting a blight from Opry to Waukesha. And with regard to that particular argument, through current at the hearing on April 26th, there was some understanding that there may have been discussions going on amongst Waukesha, Milwaukee, Oak Creek, and Racine. And the testimony produced at the hearing was based on populations, approximately 35,000 people in the city of Franklin, approximately 35,000 people in the city of Oak Creek. And I'm paraphrasing here, something less than 10,000 people within the village of Caledonia being served by the Oak Creek Water Utility, totaling somewhere in the neighborhood of 75,000 current customers, and a population of the city of Waukesha proper being something in the neighborhood of 71,000 right now. And based on simple arithmetic, the use or demand of the facility wouldn't affect double, going from maybe 75,000 customers. These are all rough numbers, just based on population, very general. Would double up to about 150,000. And the question at the hearing to the Oak Creek utility manager was whether or not there existed at this point in time any need to expand utility infrastructure capacity to serve the city of Waukesha. And the answer was, and I'll paraphrase here, but it was something along the lines of not at this time. No. So in any event, the city of Franklin and the water utility did not prevail on that issue. On the response to Oak Creek's request to rehear the public fire protection issue, Franklin said, well, that was at the hearing and the status in April, since April, and the petition recited a number of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel articles and cited them for what had been ongoing up to that point in time, which involved positions asserted by the city of Milwaukee, statements made by the Department of Natural Resources, that Oak Creek was in fact negotiating, not just having discussions with the city of Waukesha utility. And procedurally, Franklin asked the Public Service Commission to take official notice of those new facts which happened since the date of the hearing, which they're entitled to procedurally do under state law, and grant Franklin a further new hearing or reconsider that excess capacity issue. Back to where I was on the procedural history, September 26th, the order to reopen the entire matter from the commission stated the entire matter is going to be reopened, but the commission is not going to accept Franklin's request that the commission take official notice of these additional facts in Washington. Then part of the reopening was that the commission would further review this on October 3, almost 2 Wednesdays ago. The commission had an open meeting, and that was audio version available online. And what the commission did was said that based upon its review of a substantially, I'll paraphrase the commission's words, on commission's review of a fully developed record, the commission was not going to change its, the administrator's final decision on the public fire protection, which by appearances at least was the reason that Oak Creek, and that was the only issue Oak Creek asked for reconsideration or rehearing on, but the commissioners also preliminarily determined that two other issues. One was the allocation of 12-inch mains, water mains to transmission, which was decided in favor of Oak Creek. That the commission preliminarily determined that the Franklin position should be adopted by the commission on that issue. and also the rate of return on investment. The argument there, Oak Creek stated, and I think PSC staff might have testified in part that 180 basis points should be the differential between what the wholesale customers have to pay and the Oak Creek retail customers. The Franklin and Caledonia position, supported by its financial experts, was 100 basis points, so it was an 80 basis point differential. Commissioners preliminarily determined that that particular issue should be decided in Franklin's favor, not Oak Creek's favor, as it was back on July 20th. And the commission closed with some preliminary determinations. Any of the parties to this matter who request a hearing on it have to file a request for a hearing by last Wednesday. And any hearing would be limited to the two issues that it was changing, 12-inch allocation and transmission main, as well as the rate of return, and that the hearing would also only allow for new evidence. So the scope of the hearing would be limited to new evidence. Oak Creek did file a request for hearing. It's 9 pages. The request for hearing essentially states the position now that the final decision was a final decision. The commission has to find a variety of cited statutory factors in order to reopen the July 20th final decision, that the actions of, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that the actions of the commission in issuing its orders on or about 9/26, and then the order it issued on October 3rd, almost 2 Wednesdays ago after its open meeting, were improper because Oak Creek was not allowed the right to be heard, and that this final order issued, quote, less than 3 months ago, could only be overturned after a hearing by the commission if the commission finds that the July 20th determination rates are unjust, unreasonable, insufficient, or unjustly discriminatory or preferential or unlawful. So the commission is going to review Oak Creek's petition from last Wednesday, or a request for hearing, and they're going to review Franklin's response, which was filed yesterday morning, Monday, October 15th, and the anticipation is that somewhere in the near future that determination will be either the October 3rd order of the commission resulting in the change of the two determinations from July 20th stands as is, there will be no further hearing, or the commission may follow through and authorize hearing on those transmission main and the rate of return issues that might occur somewhere in the next month, maybe, or so. Or the commission could theoretically decide to just leave final decision from July 20 as is. So that remains to be seen. There have been reports over the last week that, in addition, Oak Creek was also going to file a circuit court action. I don't know that it clearly spelled out in those reports that it was going to be limited to only the public fire protection issue or not. I have checked the CCAP every day since Friday through this afternoon. I haven't seen any such filing yet. And that's the status of the matter, so there might be further hearings in front of the Public Service Commission in Madison, and there might be litigation in the circuit court.
The city attorney and I have probably been on the phone 3 or 4 times a day, if not more, on these issues. The amount of work that he just talked about is monumental. I think we came in here and sort of warned the council that this type of workload was possible and that could see no end to it. Well, that's what we're seeing. While he went through all of that, and it's very boring, the thing that you as elected officials need to communicate to your constituents is that the difference between us prevailing in our arguments and not prevailing is going to be measured in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, over the life of these agreements. You should also be aware that as a result of this, I requested the agreement that was put in place in 1994 between the city of Old Creek, its water utility, our water utility, and the city of Franklin. I stress that, and the city of Franklin. So I think maybe Jack, you could furnish the council members with a copy of that 1994 agreement. Another thing, so that you're not reading it in the newspapers, as a result of some of my statements, I've had unsolicited people have approached me from all different municipalities and walks of life regarding this issue. I haven't talked to Susan Greenfield yet or Peter McAvoy or the Thousand Friends regarding the return of water down the River, but I guarantee you that I've seen some of their literature and they're already totally on top of this this issue. So, just to top it off, Mayor Barrett was just recently in the paper reoffering the original offer that had been made. So, this is anything but done, and don't be surprised if my name was to appear in the paper again.
Really, real quick, Your Honor, thank you. I just want to number one compliment you on how you've handled this situation in the press, because I don't know if I would have handled it as diplomatically when some of this stuff is coming out when you're talking about shoving a pipe right down this community. And like I said, I mean, I handled this as diplomatically. And secondly, I think at the end of the day, because this is a very fluid situation, that whatever we decide, or at least I decide, will be in the best financial interest for the city of Franklin and its residents. So I appreciate what you've done so far, Your Honor.
Well, it's kind of really good. I say this all the time that I'm surrounded by great department heads. Having these two gentlemen handling this issue, there really are not two better individuals on the planet. And so, and understand that in the decision from the PSC, that gentleman and this gentleman took on the world and basically prevailed, and that's why their decision's being appealed. So, I get to get to in the newspaper, but it's the living legend and the other living legend. Mr. Patterson.
Just to add, the impact on our residents is based upon the first decision. So, and it's a partial quarter, so it was approximately 15% of the total increase went into effect on the bills that are out with our residents. So if anyone asks you what's going to happen in the second quarter, all of this has got to settle down before we can even estimate what the impact's going to be. But what's scheduled to be more of an impact in the fourth quarter billing as well, based upon the July decision.
Okay, any questions? Comments? Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Where are we? Number six, ordinance to amend ordinance 211-2063. Mr. Liberto or Mr. Patterson?
I'm actually going to have Paul.
Oh, Paul, okay.
You have before you a budget amendment as a result of various actions the council has taken over this past year. We've identified them on the council action request to put in place a number of budget amendments.
Alderman Solomon?
All of these have been approved previously by the Common Council, correct?
Yes, the dates of those council meetings and the agenda items were listed in the council action.
Thank you, Paul. Move to approve.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. All right.
Good job.
It doesn't always go this smooth, Paul, so don't get injured. Item 7, revised summary plan description. Mr. Liberta. We do have the chairman of the personnel committee there today.
The primary purpose of this revision to the employee health plan is to incorporate the benefit design changes that are recommended within the mayor's recommended 2013 budget. Based on the discussion that happened at the committee of the whole, I'm recommending moving these forward at this time so that we can get them incorporated in the plan, get proper notice out to the employees as required by federal law, and be able to have this in place so that employees can have a normal and timely open enrollment period that may coordinate with spouses' open enrollment period. And I've also outlined some other updates and corrections that we are continuing to work on in the memo or in the council action sheet. And then also at your chairs when you arrived this evening was one other update I would request that you incorporate, which is in the motion and in the words, and federal requirements for expanded coverage for women's health care. Our consultant identified a couple federal requirements for some coverage that should also be in place in 1113, and I can make sure that
we'll approve the changes as recommended by the consultant.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 8, change orders to contracts for public construction for the Ryan Creek Interceptor. Mr. Patterson. As you're sitting down, everything that you're talking about is reimbursable?
Everything except the very last item on the recommendation, which is part of the 112th to 124th Street local sewer program, which is an applicable cost to that project.
Okay, let me ask you it this way. How much of what you have in front of us is reimbursable, the dollar figure?
$1,400,648.34.
Okay. When you called me and interrupted me while I was meeting.
Well, and the reason this is before you is we got a call from the DNR saying that they would be unable to reimburse us for $181,248 because the contract and change orders for one of the four vendors would reach their total amount. It would reach their total amount because the work change directives that the contractors were working under had not been translated into work change orders. And that's a legal term, and the DNR will not reimburse us for the directives, but they will for the change orders. So that preceded us getting the information together and getting it late, but getting it to you so it could be considered tonight, assuming it's in the affirmative. Our payment for the 24th will include that $181,000.
So we would get fully reimbursed, or
we would be fully reimbursed for all eligible costs.
And that's why this is in front of you tonight, and why I grudgingly agreed to place this on the agenda.
Correct,
Mr. City Attorney.
Only that I saw this on the run, and I saw November 15, 2011 council meeting. Went back to that. All these various contracts were authorized to be amended to account for this additional work last November 15th, correct? And the amounts, as are shown on the heading for this council action sheet were shown on that council action sheet, and on the run they didn't add up real close in terms of dollar for dollar, but off to my gut reaction was they were close to about like maybe 10% different.
Yes.
There'll be a fine at the end of the project, which will be sometime in April or May of next year. There'll be a final accounting, which we end up with the final quantities, which we won't know until sometime this winter. There'll be a few dollar changes. There, these change orders, the 10 of them you have before you tonight, will be adjusted slightly. There will also be some other change orders with a significant amount of credits. But we can't do those yet until we get the final quantities, which are going to take us probably till January. As of right now, we continue to be under budget, we're way ahead of schedule, and it's forecast unless something happens in the next 6 weeks with the remaining mining that has to be done, this project will come in under the original cost.
Okay, so what are you asking the council, Mr. Patterson?
To authorize the change orders as listed under the recommendation section of this agenda item.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and second under discussion. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I noticed that I voted for this against it last time, and I do want to bring up the fact that when we when I voted to hire Rupert Milk for this project, one of the things that I wanted to see were the change orders ahead of time before the money was spent. I just want to make that point. But for the record, since this item was a revised agenda item and might not have gotten to some individuals, would you please put on the record the total amount of the change orders increase? I'm reading $1,162,235, and I just want to make sure that that's the correct amount.
The change order contracts total $1,412,648.34. $12,000 of that amount are for local rather than the Clean Water Fund loan program.
Thank you.
All right. A motion on the floor has been seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Licenses and permits, Alderman Solomon.
Yes. The first one is the landmark. This was one that we had previously referred to the city attorney's office. Getting a letter back from the city attorney's office indicated that we should not be pursuing this at this time. So if anybody wants further explanation of that, I'll be more than happy to do it one-on-one after the meeting. Motion to approve the landmark Class B combination, con approve, operator approve.
City attorney had a question.
Only that individual one-on-one discussions after the open meeting.
I understand. Con approve, Lake approve, Young approve, Witchkers approve, St. Martin's of Tours School Spaghetti Dinner approved. I want to correct Young. That one is not approved. It's hold for appearance.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Wilson.
I point out to everybody, spaghetti dinner October the 20th at St. Martin Community Church is in support of the only Catholic school in the city. Not that that matters to many people, but it's good spaghetti.
Are you cooking it?
No.
If he was cooking it, it would be good. So that's why.
Oh.
No, my brother-in-law was cooking it. Be good. But I encourage everybody to participate.
What time?
Starts at 6.
Thanks.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to vouchers and payroll. Let's see. You have before you a list of vouchers 144531 through 144729. Is there a motion to approve?
So
moved. Second. Good. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor. Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is the second line item, is that different than the one that was just approved here? I see a different number. 16th, 2020. Is that required? Okay. All right, then I'll go down to the motion. Is there a motion to approve the payroll of October 5th, 2012?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 I'm sorry, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman
Aye.
Alderman Wilk.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarinski.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion approving the Ryan Creek Interceptor invoices in the amount of $890,496.93?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Oh, wait. Is that a majority vote? Or is that a roll call? Let's do a roll call. Madam Clerk?
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman
aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Me.
Okay. Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Move and second. All those in favor, please signify the same aye.
Just a little information. Highway 100 is open.